We are recording, just so everybody knows. Good evening, everyone. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Queeteck?
Present.
Ms. Laird? Ms. Leon?
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Present.
And Mr. Quam?
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Councilwoman Laird will be joining us. She'll be a little late this evening. She was tending to a commitment with a Girl Scout troop. Before we proceed with the agenda, we do have one citation this evening for Mark Reiser. I don't believe he is here this evening. Thank you. So we will make sure that he gets that. Thank you, Chief. The mail. Moving on to approval of the minutes for the May 6, 2025 council meeting. Any discussion on the minutes? Mr. Callahan?
I just want to make sure that the Kat, is the minutes from the letter that I read?
They were transcribed at your request on Friday.
It's in here.
It's on the back page.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank
sure.
you.
Any other discussion on the minutes? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment. As is custom, we'll start with anything that's not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. We had 3 people sign up in advance. Excuse me. And just a YouTube reminder, if anyone's following along and wants to watch live, you're welcome to scroll ahead to the live portion of the meeting. We'll start with Reverend Bruce Stevenson.
Good evening. My name is Reverend Bruce Stevenson. I live at 1216 Pennsylvania Avenue in Bethlehem. This is my second trip here for the same reason, and that is traffic safety. On the 1200 block of Pennsylvania Avenue, my wife and I have had 3 cars hit and totaled. We've gone from a no car payment family to a 2 car payment family. This has happened to my neighbors. They're going to be speaking to you as well. Since I was here last time, there have been 2 more crashes, one further on to the 1100 block of Pennsylvania Avenue. When we shared our concerns, we asked if it were possible for a white line to be painted along Pennsylvania Avenue in the same manner that is done on Eden Avenue. You did tell us that this is not your decision, it falls into somebody else's purview. If you can't do it, I understand it, but I would like to ask you folks to advocate for us. This is an issue of safety now. It is possible to use a special type of paint that will trigger the safety mechanisms on more modern cars to let people know you're getting too close to the edge. I know that you can turn those mechanisms off in your car, but I don't, so I get warned. Today on my way to work, I went down Eden Avenue and I noticed, okay, they've got this great little white line. There were over 30 cars parked along the side safely and legally on Eden Avenue, and not one of them had a dent in them. So you can say that, oh, people drive crazy on Eden Avenue, and they probably do. But I can tell you that cars aren't getting hit on Eden Avenue. In addition to cars, there are lots of people walking on the sidewalk A lot of young kids walking down to the pool during the summer, the Clearview Pool, and also to Northwest Swim Club. It's really only a matter of time before it's not cars getting hit, but it's people getting hit. So I implore you to advocate for us for more safety on Pennsylvania Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Stevenson. Our next speaker is Harry Faber.
Harry Faber. I occasionally wonder, am I actually crazy? Am I the deranged lunatic? I am witnessing the most horrific act imaginable, a genocide. Now, the word may have lost some meaning to those who refrain from seeing, but the pictures, the videos, the screams and cries, any human who bears witness to this real-life, real-time horror can attest to the mental toll it can bring upon those aware of their own implication in such an atrocity. I wonder if you all think I'm just a big 25-year-old child who still needs to grow up. Some I know recognize the truth and validity of my words. Mayor Reynolds told me he liked maybe 45 seconds of my speech at the last meeting, not about the genocide, of course, but my words on the removal of purpose from the people. Regardless, I know I'm not crazy. I refuse to live in the illusion. I don't wish to take part in the spectacle. And the spectacle at the last meeting, where I was called a slur on May 5th, albeit funny to talk about and look back on, was truly saddening. I was told to focus on local matters, but foreign policy impacts everything about local matters. According to NotMyTaxDollars.org, an estimated $5,150,000 of Bethlehem taxpayer dollars was spent in 2024 alone financing Israel's genocide and apartheid regime. Instead, that money could be spent on funding 60 more teachers at a salary of $85,000 a year. Or assuming a household spends $500 a month on groceries, that money could be spent providing 1 month of free groceries for 10,297 families. Pennsylvania has wasted an estimated $640,536,000 on this genocide. To accept and believe that this waste of our time and resources doesn't affect us is downright ignorant and moronic. Foreign policy is domestic policy, and domestic policy is foreign policy. I come to these meetings to try and talk some sense with some sensible people that come. It may not be clear to you, but it's clear to me. So allow me to articulate that our state, our government, which maintains a monopoly on violence, is utilizing, albeit wasting, is a better description, all of our dying Earth's precious resources to massacre people. People just like us, not terrorists, not human animals, not Nazis, not the boogeymen, people. If any of you had an inkling of human empathy and tried to imagine living in an open-air prison deprived of every means of subsistence, watching those you love around you be murdered, starved, kidnapped, bombed, shot, burned alive, what would you do? What could you do? You don't have to visualize it. The Gazans are sharing their lived experience every way they can. It's a genocide. You all know it. I cannot accept that you do not see how this directly affects us. The people in this room, not to mention the people of Bethlehem, the people of Pennsylvania, the people of this country. The extermination of life en masse is never justifiable. Imperialist wars in the modern era are not justifiable either. It's utterly barbaric, and your silence and inaction is reprehensible. As I mentioned at the last meeting, this government is a social construct, one we merely inherited, which we consciously or unconsciously adhere to and grant power and authority over us. As I've said many times before, Israel does not have a right to exist, but neither does this government. People born on this earth have a right to exist. The plants, animals, ecosystems which sustain our existence on earth have a right to exist. No governing structure has any right whatsoever, just as no self-proclaimed king has the right to enslave other human beings. I use the word self-proclaimed because all kings and governing structures are self-proclaimed. I must reiterate, there is no inherent God-given right for one or any minority to subject their will onto the masses. It is stated in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. We ignore, minimize, and justify every crime against humanity perpetrated by our federal government, so long as it isn't happening to us. I'll admit we're not being bombed as of yet, but our federal government is quite literally kidnapping and disappearing people and deporting them without any due process. These are people kidnapping other people, putting them in cages, some being tortured, then shipped like human cargo to slave labor camps. It is our very duty as human beings to dismantle such a system. There is only one long-term goal for humanity, and that is the permanent utopia, the liberation of all. Utopia cannot be built off of genocide. A utopia cannot be built if we refuse to acknowledge the material reality of our political economy and capitulate to fascism. And a utopia will most definitely not be built if we refuse to invest in the infrastructure that directly addresses the questions of clean and sustainable food, water, and energy production. This is not a game. Politics is not a show. I'll say it again. Our actions today directly build our tomorrow, our future. We need real physical change. We need to reject this structure and replace it with a new one. Respectfully, Mayor Reynolds, last election you only got 8,100 votes in a city of 75,000. This primary you received 4,400. Congrats on defeating the fascists.
Thank you, Mr. Favor.
I believe in change, but...
Our next speaker signed up, Maritza Figueroa.
Everybody. Oh, thank you. So just like Mr. and Mrs. Steven, they're my neighbors. I've been here. This is the second time for the same reasons. Unfortunately, in the past year and a half, just right in front of my home, we already lost three vehicles. Last month, at the end of the last month, my son was parked in front of my home, and unfortunately, they totaled his car. Not only it's a safety issue, and I've only been there 5 years, my neighbor's been there for over 30 years, and it's just some people, the reason why we want this line is not because we want to restrict anybody to be in our neighborhood. I love my neighborhood and my neighbors too, but the reason why we're doing this is because of safety. If we do the same, if we do the line that just like Eaton Avenue has, we're just reminding them that it's a one lane. That's all it is. We're not restricting anybody. We're not telling anybody to do anything out of the ordinary. And I don't think that us asking you guys to help us and to hopefully we can find some medium that this could be done, maybe we could get, I don't think that we're asking for much. It's not going to go over our budget. It's not, but just like we like to update everything else in Bethlehem, which a lot of things look beautiful, I think that our safety is also important. And not only that, financially. I'm a single mom. I got two jobs. Took today my second job off today. That way I could be here today to let you know. I can't afford it. You know, that home, that other vehicle that he had, actually was given to him because I cannot afford it. Now he's going to college, he needs a vehicle, and I can't afford it. We have new people that moved into our neighborhood that have small children. Would they have to also fear that they can't play in front of their home? We're not asking for much. We're not asking to blow the budget or anything like that. It's just a line. We're not asking for lines. We're not asking for anything out of the ordinary or anything just out of proportion. But we do expect, or at least I really are asking for your support. Just a line, just to keep everybody safe. I can't predict the future, neither can you, neither can anybody else in here. But we could prevent it. Because if it's our cars, can you imagine what it's gonna do to the kids? We have a lot of people in Pennsylvania Avenue that drive their bicycles, they're running in the mornings and the afternoons, we have kids coming out of school, they're passing, they think that it's two lanes, and it's not two lanes. We just want to remind them it's one lane, that way they can stay in their lane. And Eaton Avenue, you never hear that there's an accident or anything. And thank God every single day that I wake up in the morning and everything is good in our neighborhood. So our police is never called there. They're only called there when it's a disaster. So I'm asking you, I'm begging you to at least give us some help, some support, that at least maybe we can just make a line there just to make sure that everybody is safe. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want a kid to get hurt. These kids now, summer's coming. I see a lot of kids around. And even in October for Halloween, they're walking around, it's dark. So what do? I have to, now I'm gonna start putting some lights in front of my home. Some solar lights, that way when they're walking around, they can see where they're going. You know, it's not just for me, it's not just for my son, it's not for everybody, my neighbors, which are great. I love where I live. and I want to keep us safe. I'm just asking you to please help us out, to please at least back us up to maybe the city can help us at least get that line there, that we can keep everybody safe. Again, we can't predict the future, but I'm just trying to avoid it. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Ms. Figueroa. Before I continue, I do want to recognize Councilwoman Laird has joined us, and Mayor Reynolds is with us this evening also. That exhausts our list of who has signed up in advance, so I will go around the room. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to speak on anything not being voted on tonight? Thanks for coming, nonetheless. I'll turn to the wide center. Is there anyone who wants to make comment? Mr. Ancalis?
Steve Ancalis, 737 Ridge. I did not intend to say anything, but listening to the previous speakers, it's absolutely sad. It's really sad that for these people to come here and beg, literally beg, for a safe existence. And asking, whom are they asking? They're asking their public servants whom they elected. That's pathetic. It's sad. It's also very shameful.
Thank you, Mr. Antapix. Is there anyone else in the wide center who wanted to make comment? Anyone to the right who wants to make comment? That concludes our first public comment. So now we'll continue on to our second. That's for any ordinance or resolution that council is voting on this evening. We did not have anyone sign up in advance. So again, I'll go around the room. This is for anything on the agenda tonight. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment? Again, I turn to the wide center. Conclude to my right. Moving on to old business. Any old business for members of council? Any new business for members of council? Councilwoman Leone?
Hi, Mr. Alcala. I think we'll probably all have questions. So I pulled up on the city's website some FAQs when it comes to there's traffic issues in my area. Some of the things are talking about a traffic study that can be triggered. So I'm curious as to what can we do to get a traffic study done? And then I'm looking at the speed hump thing, and it says the area needs to qualify. Granted, they're not asking for a speed hump, but if we're talking about speed, what might that look like? So I'm curious as to, is there a reason we haven't done the white line painting, and what can we do to trigger a traffic study in that area?
We've been looking at this for quite some time, at least because traffic circuit, there's two things that have kept us from putting the line. Resources, and more importantly, at least the past evaluations, we weren't convinced that a white line is going to solve the safety concerns that are being brought up. We still haven't eliminated that possibility from revisiting that and putting the white line in anyway, but that's been what's been in the way of moving forward.
Okay, so understand that you're not the traffic engineer, but if the white line isn't going to solve the issues, are there recommendations that we would have solve the issues that are going on in that area?
It's obviously that road's not suitable for speed humps. You mentioned speed humps. Speed enforcement is something that could potentially help. We've considered that or referred that to police. Other than that, when honestly, there's not a lot of other options to consider.
Okay, so is there anything that makes Eaton Ave different than Pennsylvania Ave, that the line made sense on Eaton and doesn't make sense in Pennsylvania?
I don't recall the specifics, but there were some issues that were brought up that necessitated that.
And I will, I know other people have questions, so I'll leave it at that, but I would welcome the traffic engineer or anyone within your department. I'd be happy to go out and walk through that area as we've done in Indian Hill. And the suggestions from the community in Indian Hill didn't end up panning out, but we went a different route with the stop sign painting and stuff like that.
Right.
And that ended up being very, very helpful. So maybe just going out there and walking with some members of the community, maybe we can find something that might be helpful. I'm more than happy to do that. I'm sure other members of council are as well.
And we'll also evaluate why it was implemented.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Mayor Reynolds, did you want to expand on that answer?
Yeah, I'd ask Mr. Alcohol to kind of take a look at that and come back. But as far as the larger issue is concerned, I mean, and I think many of you know this, is we have been able to unlock and get executed the contract for West Broad Street with the federal government. And part of that money includes what's called a complete streets plan. That's a requirement. And essentially what a complete streets plan does is it comes up with like the matrix of the lens by which you see streets to make them as safe as you humanly can for walkers and bikers and drivers. So one of the things that we're talking about is, if you know, these kind of busy roads, the ones that they kind of like call like collector roads, and if you think about the ones that run north, south, or east, west, whether or not it's West Union or Broad Street or Pennsylvania Avenue, or on the north side you got Linden Street, Stefco Boulevard, like one of the things that that plan is going to come up with is the lens by which, like, what are you able to do to these streets legally, the ones that are not state roads, that are local roads, and then help to kind of put like a kind of price tag on that to be able to think, what can you do? And connected to that is, obviously, we also talked about it a lot, is our bike master plan. It's like, how do you necessarily create safe roadways for bicyclists as well? So the goal of that plan, and we already have the people under contract, City Council approved Kittleson, is to be able to put together that lens so you can look at what the options are. And I have also added, which isn't part of Kittleson, but I said this is what we need to do, is you take a road like Broad Street, because it's so broad, it allows for a lot of different things. You take a road like Third Street, that is also a collector road, but it's just not wide enough to be able to necessarily do the full menu of what you want to do. So being able to come up with both defining what those kind of like 17, 18 collector streets are, but then also what this lens matrix is that allows for like a variability. So like on a 1 to 10 scale, how much change is allowable, or what part of that menu of, I'm making it up, 10, 12 things, line painting, bump outs, whatever, are necessarily good for that particular situation. And that's like the single biggest like deliverable that we want them to be able to create, is taking a look at our busiest roads. Like I said, the 17, 18, whatever we call the collector streets, the one that go north, south, east, west, and think about what's that lens to be able to change. That's the kind of systemic answer to, as far as like these type of streets across the city. And we're not going to wait for that, obviously, for Mr. Alcohol to go take a look at it. I mean, Pennsylvania Avenue, and the other thing too that often happens in these streets is like what you're able to do for 3 or 4 or 5 blocks, and our goal is obviously to be able to paint or do whatever it is that will make it as safe as possible. Like the street changes. So it gets wider, it gets thinner, and things like that. So maybe there's a possibility to do something for 4 or 5 blocks, and you don't do it for the whole mile. If, you know, we can certainly take a look at all of those different options. And as the speakers were talking, I turned around to Mr. Alcohol, and I said, we can take a look at it and try to put that. But this is a question that comes up a lot, and that's one of the beauties of that, the fact that we were able to get this contract executed with the federal government, is we're able to do this complete streets plan, which affects all of these collector roads throughout the city.
Yeah, I love the complete streets program, and I appreciate you saying that we won't wait, because I think, like you said, there's a list of things that we can do, and not the entirety of Pennsylvania Ave, but the situation right there, which seems to be something that needs immediate attention. As you said, I don't think it should wait till it's, we do the complete streets
program. And we always have 2 trains running at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's always things to make big change. Takes systemic time, but you're also thinking is like, what are the things we can do right now with urgency? And so it's like, we're also not waiting to do the engineering on East Broad Street or West Broad Street as far as those changes are concerned until we get done with the bike master plan and the complete streets plan. But those are very important to be able to put price tags and things like that, and their requirements as far as this grant is concerned. They are part, it says right there in the contract, if you accept this money, you need to do this. So it allows us to do the long-term planning, but obviously whatever we can do in the short term with the situation, we'll take a look.
That'd be awesome, and I see Deputy Chief Meinzel here, so even if it's just a couple extra patrols, which I know they're patrolling so much and down manpower, and I understand that, but even if it's something as quick as that, then just a show would be helpful for people to be a little bit more calm when they're driving in that area. So thank you so much.
Any other new business from members of council? I'll start with Councilwoman Cranston.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments, but I have to just put in that this is personal to me, because I really know what you're going through. My brother lived on a street with this similar issues, and unfortunately, while he was in hospice and dying, they lost two cars, and my car was out of commission for 6 months as a result, or 5 months, whatever. But I know it's a real issue, and I guess, Mr. Alcom, I'm looking at it on Google Map here, and I see where the problem seems to be that the street is really narrow. Like, the cars are parked, and then it's the street, and then it is an island. And then I look at Eaton Avenue, and it's similar, but they do have the white line, you know, where the parking is designated. And I appreciate, you know, that we're going to do the study and everything, but based on your speaking tonight so eloquently and my personal experience and my brother's family, they lost several cars, and it was really frustrating because where they lived, the municipality would never deal with it. So I know what it's like when you have this and you're having cars demolished and possibly people could get hurt. And that's why I'm really advocating that we do something, you know, sooner than later. Would it be, I mean, what would be the harm in painting that white line just like we have on Eastern Avenue? I mean, I know it would be manpower and time, but I'm not an expert on this, but even I pulled it up and it says how the white lines, you know, really do help. And over in Europe, it really has decreased the number of accidents. I'm just looking for anything that we can do to avoid them going through what they're going through, and God forbid, you know, a life getting hurt or killed.
Yeah, I think the main problem here is the street's actually, there's an island. The street is fairly wide. It's wide enough for people to go around cars that are turning or they're slow. And unfortunately, it's a driver behavior is the biggest problem here. And yes, the white line may help with that, but as I said, the previous traffic superintendent just wasn't convinced that people were still going to, on this street, they were still going to behave similarly, at least the majority of them. And it would not be effective, coupled with the fact that if you paint the white line, you have to maintain it and you have to refresh it every so often. That's why she shied away from moving forward with it so far. She also evaluated the accident history. We, like I said, we were still continuing to look at it, and we'll revisit it and see if we, you know, even if we're not 100% convinced it may work, we will consider painting the line. And
do we know what the cost would be for painting the line?
I don't know off the top of my head, but like I said, it was not just the initial cost, it's more like...
So it's really not cost prohibitive to do that? It's not cost prohibitive, that's not the issue, you don't believe? Is the issue the cost?
You mentioned another street that could use the same thing. There's many streets in the city.
Well, no, I mentioned Eaton Avenue that has it. I mean, I'm looking at the city, and where I had my incident was not in Bethlehem. But this, I see Pennsylvania Avenue, and I'm looking at Eaton Avenue, and Eaton Avenue is similar in width, just from what I'm seeing
from
here,
from her perspective, we have a hard time keeping up with the line painting, and so adding that street without being convinced that it's going to remedy the situation was the main reason we had not moved forward.
And again, I don't want to be, because it's so personal, because I've gone through it, so I can really empathize with them. What would prove to us that it would be worth it to do it to the street? What would we need? What evidence would we need that it would be worthwhile to do it to the street, the white line?
I mean, I'm not sure how you go about doing that.
I guess
accident history obviously is one factor, but I don't know if you can, you know, prove that it's needed or not needed at any point. And like I said, we're going to consider doing it anyway, even if we're not convinced it's going to remedy the situation. I don't know what more we can.
I mean, I understand. I hear what you're saying. I'm not trying to be difficult here, but I guess I'm just thinking if it might help, why won't we do it then? Because it can really save, if it can possibly save cars being demolished and people going through such economic and emotional hardship, and also, you know, God forbid,
as I said, we're
going
to revisit it, and we may very well do it. That's all I can tell you.
Well, I guess I would just say I would advocate to look into it strongly. Thank you.
We agree.
Thank you, Councilwoman. I'll go with Councilwoman Laird.
Yeah, so I just wanted to offer my support also at revisiting it. I've had conversations with you about that area in general. I said just supporting your efforts to revisit it. I've had conversations with you about that area since I live over on West Union right near Pennsylvania, and the same thing happens there. West Union is a state road, I understand that. but it also illustrates that there definitely are other roads that it could snowball. I get that. But I'd be happy to join you if you are going to take a walk through or whatever and just talk about it. So thank you for your attention to it.
Okay. Councilwoman Kwiatkowska.
Just quickly, also echoing all of that, I did want to ask, and noting that that this is, sounds very similar to the situation with the folks on Market Street who were also, you know, sort of trying to help, and so just to say that there are opportunities. When, I mean, that's right by where the new, there's a new light going in, right? The light is being
upgraded. We're upgrading
right.
those lights.
And so when we had that on for a vote for the engineering or whatever, I asked, like, because remembering folks who had come here and talked about this, I asked if there was anything that could be done during the upgrade of that light that could positively impact, slow down the traffic. You know, whether it's the order of the lights, the signal, you know.
The phasing. Yeah.
Yeah, the phasing, thank you. I don't always know the right words. So that's a question. And then also, the Reverend mentioned the particular kind of paint that can interact with the safety systems of cars. Do we have that in use anywhere in the city? Have we looked into it?
I'm not sure if he was referring to the rumbles, the strips that you would
no.
you would
no, paint? It's it. There's a camel. Is it a camel or something?
We have not used the technology in the city yet.
Okay. All right. Something that perhaps we could
sure.
Have the new traffic superintendent look into.
Mr. Callan?
Mike, I'm a supporter too, so you know anything we could do. We have a line striping machine in the city, right?
Yeah.
Can you just get back to us, like send a memo out to all of us, just what the estimated cost would be on it, if we did do it?
Sure, but I mean, it's not a matter of the cost for this application, for this street. It's the whole program is like I said, was a deterrent from doing it.
I'm just saying, based on their testimony tonight, I'm not asking for it to get done right away. Just give us an estimate. If you can email all of us an estimate on what you think it would cost us to do that.
Okay.
I don't think it would be, I mean, I get line strips, so striped all the time over at my driving school. So I know it's not that expensive. So I don't know what it would be for a mile long or however, but just, you could just get back to us on an estimate on it.
Okay.
Thank you, I'd appreciate that. Just a second thing, Mayor or Ms. Collins, has there been any outreach to historic Bethlehem businesses about the sidewalks yet? Has there been any discussion? Has anybody talked to them down there?
As far as like doing another like cost sharing situation?
Well, just something's got to be done. Either we got to do a cost sharing program with them, or we should be starting. I mean, someone should go down here and inspect the sidewalks. I mean, if you saw those pictures I sent you, they're in terrible shape. And I'm just hoping that something gets done prior to our busy summer season. So
I would defer to Mr. Alcall as far as the safety is concerned. Let's start there. I think Mr. Alcall kind of talking about where and when we necessarily look to be able to do some of that work.
I've already asked engineering to inspect the sidewalks downtown, identify areas of safety concerns, so we can sit down and look and see what we may do, if it's a quick fix or if it's minor, and anything more than that, if we would notify the property owner and follow up with addressing any concerns that are identified.
Is there any estimated timeline like that? I mean, is this something that can be done before July, August? I mean,
we're working on it. If there's a need to expedite it, so
I'm just curious.
I would also, I would add though, as I had stated last time the topic came up, is like it is a systemic problem though, in that like if you're paying to keep up your sidewalks as a property owner and somebody else is not doing it, at what point do then we, the taxpayers, decide to help out, you know, ABC LLC who doesn't want to do that, and they just have that idea that if we neglect our own sidewalk, then the taxpayers will pick it up. And then there's also just like getting kind of like the weeds a little bit. It's like there's a difference between like the sidewalk and the right of way and where people are walking in areas next to it. That is also the property owner's responsibility. That also might look the same. It might be the same material, but it's not necessarily in the walkway as far as like safety is concerned. But we will absolutely look at it. And if there are any people that are blatantly, as Mr. Alcohol said, if there are people that are blatant about the safety violations, they will be notified and be able to fix, which I think is a better solution than just going and being like, we're going to fix this for you, because you continue to not neglect. As I said last time, there were people that went into cost sharing that still haven't paid, and there has to be liens on it, things like that. But as far as like the immediate, like, is there a safety issue here right now? That's something that, as Mr. Alcohol said, is.
How about the possibility of looking into like a standardized uniform sidewalk down here, something that's more durable?
Mr. Alcohol can speak to that as far as what we're able to do versus what we can only kind of like suggest and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, historically, for as long as I've been here, the overwhelming opinion has been to those specialty sidewalks were put in 40, 50 years ago, and because of the historic nature of the downtown areas, we feel that those provide a great deal of benefit in terms of aesthetics, and it's been our approach to maintain those sidewalks in kind and use, like, now we could make some minor modifications. There may be smaller areas that are slate that we may allow, you know, brick to be in there and vice versa, but for the most part, we try to maintain the aesthetic look down there.
So does the brick and the stamped concrete, does that last typically longer than the slate sidewalks, though?
You mean the stamped concrete versus synthetic material?
Yeah, so some of the businesses down here have brick, and some have cement, and some and a few of it.
Yeah, the only cement is in some the small areas on Broad, on the south side Broad, and of course there's the stamped concrete on North Side. Abroad. And everything else on is brick or slate. Or
and I believe, and Mr. Alcohol, you can add to this, is that there have been times when property owners want to just put in concrete like I have in front of my house, and I believe we don't approve.
We have not in the past.
We have not in the past approved the permit. So what has happened, and this is one of the things that happens, like that Mr. Alcohol is so good in his department in, is ABC LLC will come in and be like, we're going to fix it, but we don't want to put brick or any slate or anything like that. We're just going to put a standard, like, you know, what I think would probably what you have in front of your house, like what I have, like what most people have in front of their house as far as like standard sidewalk. And like, we don't approve the permit. But then obviously the cost to put it in for these property owners gets higher. So then it's a little bit like most problems, it's a little bit between the rock and the hard place where we're telling them, like, we don't want you to put the stuff in here that's not going to go with everything else and look historic. But at the same time, they say, well, that's what I want to do with my property. So then it becomes a little bit back and forth. And sometimes, like any other developer, they're like, okay, we don't feel like paying the cost, so we're just going to like sit here and not do anything until it gets better. Which is just one of the, what I'm just kind of stating as one of the challenges we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we had numerous debates over this, whether we should allow patterned concrete or concrete. And in the past, the opinion was, you know, that it was important to maintain that same aesthetics that is down there now.
Yeah, I think if you talk to the owners that have the slate out front, they want to get rid of it. Because it just, even if it doesn't break, and most of them break, I mean, if you saw those pictures, I mean, there's chunks out of them. And they all start flaking, the slate starts to flake on the top. So, I mean, if anybody could go down there and take a look at it and get back to us, a couple of meetings, I'd appreciate it. And last thing is, Mayor, I know the DBA came to you about keeping the lights on year-round during dinner hours down there. Is there any movement on that?
We've made movement, as you probably may have heard, on getting new light lamp posts, which is going to be a couple $100,000 that we've been able to find money for. We should be able to announce in the next couple weeks. I think that was the first conversation, because a lot of the conversation has to do with like having the light posts there that are heavy enough to be able to hang things from and things like that, which was the priority. I'm not sure. I mean, Mike might be able to talk a little bit more about the keeping the light posts, keeping the lamps.
Tree lights.
Yeah.
There was a lot of issues in terms of keeping them year-round. We've had meetings prior to the last holiday season, not this past holiday season, but the season before, some in this hall. And at least at this time, the compromise was, and the what we felt is best was to keep the lights on through March, after which foliage comes back and they're not as effective anyway in the downtown area. So it wouldn't be worth it from all the other things that we'd have to do. They don't make outdoor lighting, decorative lighting, year-round. You have to restring during the course of the year if you keep them year-round. But we felt that was a good compromise. So right now what we've done, including this past holiday season, is we kept them on through the month of March.
And Ms. Collins also reminded me, which I had forgotten, was that this actually, I believe, had come up as a thing that the DBA voted on in one of their meetings, and there was not agreement that it was necessarily something. Is that correct, Ms. Collins?
Yeah, I think that ultimately they voted and there were more votes in favor of turning it off.
So then she had said there were more votes in favor of turning it off.
Some felt that it takes away from the turn on. If they've been on all year round, then when you go to the turn on, after the day after Black Friday,
right,
doesn't have the same visual impact.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to all the leaders in the DBA, and they showed me a list of items that they were going to address with you that they wanted. And I think that was in the top, like, immediate. They had things in the immediate future and things for the long term. And I think that was one of the items that was in the immediate future. And I know that under Mayor Donchez, we kept them on your ground. It looked awesome down there. So I know it's doable. It's just if there's a will of to do it or not.
So in most, as I've said many times at this point, you know, most times we move forward with helping out when there's some type of agreement with the DBA. And one of the challenges we have, which is why a couple of months ago I went personally and I presented the idea of doing some type of actual plan to be able to settle all of these kind of priorities, because, and this is why we were able to move forward with the lampposts, which is, as I said, going to be a couple $100,000, is because we said, and we sent them a communication that said, like, if this is your number one priority, like, send it to us in writing that this is what the DBA wants as their number one priority, and then we'll move forward. Because the previous, and one of the problems they've had is, you know, this group wants this as number one, this one gets this. They put together lists. They're like, here's a list of all the things that we want. But then individual businesses are saying, this is our priority and this is not. So one of the things we've been trying to do is get them to come up with an agreement, like, this is the number one thing, which is why we've been able to move forward with the lampposts. And as Ms. Collins had stated, like, this was something that came up at a meeting, and there was not, and I know you live downtown, so you obviously have a strong opinion about this, like, there was not an agreement, and they didn't vote that was something they wanted to have go on. I continue, and like I said, as with most things with them, like, we listen to what they want as far as their consent and, you know, as far as, like, what their feelings are and try to work with it. But, like, things need a plan, and more than anything else is, like, they need, like, a governance structure that just makes it clear what these priorities are. Because if not, it ends up being, and, you know, I think I know a lot of the same people, you know, and they say, I want this, I want this, I want this, and it becomes tough for us, it becomes tough for the different departments from a practical reason to move forward. I think doing some type of strategic plan that would, like, list a lot of these things and take those priorities and be like, this is what the cost is going to be for 3 years, this is going to, who's going to have to do the sustainable maintenance and things like that, is, but that's just mine. It does not seem like that's going to win out as far as what they want to do, which is fine, which is why then the kind of, like, the second thing that happened there was, like, if you want the lampposts, that's great, we'll try to find a way to find the money for that, we just need something back from them. And when they sent it back to them, then we moved for a couple of weeks and we were able to move some things around. And like I said, in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to announce where that money's coming from. Thank you.
Any other new business from Murphy's Council? Thank you, Mr. Alcohol. Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Thank you, Ms. Collins. Communications, 6A.
May 21st, 2025, memorandum and attached resolution from Sean Ziller, excuse me, Deputy Director of Economic Development. Mr. Ziller outlines the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program, which is Commonwealth Redevelopment Grant Program. City Council in 2009 passed a resolution for the program to assist in the redevelopment of the Martin Tower project located in the 1100 block of 8th Avenue. Mr. Ziller recommends that Council pass a new resolution authorizing submission of the RACP application and business plan for the full grant amount of $9,075,000.
And Resolution 10A is on the agenda this evening. 6B.
A May 7th, 2025 memorandum and proposed resolution from Director of Water and Sewer Resources, Edward Boscola. The memorandum recommends an agreement with Great Western Services Incorporated of Allentown to provide materials and labor to restore water and sewer utility trenches at various locations within the city. Cost is $196,424, and the work is to be completed within 60 days of the notice to proceed. There are no renewals. Only one bid was received, but it was determined that the recommended awardee is the responsible and qualified bidder.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. 6C.
A May 14, 2025 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spark Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. The permittee is Christmas City Spirits LLC, and the sub-permittee is the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Bethlehem. The event is the 2025 Pride Party Palooza, and it will take place from 1 to 6 p.m. on June 22nd. Permit duration will be from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. on the same date. Premises will include the Nevin Place right-of-way and a specified West Walnut Street parcel adjacent to the Sun Inn Courtyard, and a specified Redevelopment Authority-owned parcel located in the Sun Inn Courtyard.
Resolution 10C is on tonight's agenda. 6D.
A May 14, 2025 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spark Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Juneteenth, Lehigh Valley, and the sub-permittee is Arts Quest. The event is the 2025 Juneteenth Lehigh Valley Music Festival, and it will take place from 2 to 9:30 p.m. on June 14th. Permit duration will be from 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. on the same date. Premises will be First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. 6E.
A May 14, 2025 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spark Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Holy Infancy Roman Catholic Church, and the event is 2025 Holy Infancy Cultural Celebration. The event will be held from 5 to 10 p.m. on June 20th and noon until 10 p.m. on June 21st. Permit duration will be various times between June 16th and June 25th. Premises will be Lawford Street between Pierce and Buchanan Streets, and Pierce Street between East Packer Avenue and East 5th Street.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. 6F.
A May 14, 2025 memorandum from Solicitor John Spark Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Arts Quest, and the event is Sangria Fest. This event will take place from 1 to 5 p.m. on June 21st. Permit duration will be from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. on the same date. Premises will be First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda tonight. 6G.
A May 13th, 2025 memorandum and proposed resolution from Public Works Director Michael Alcall. Memorandum seeks authorization to execute an agreement with Herbert, Roland, and Rubick Incorporated of Allentown to provide a new design of Steffco Boulevard drainage swale improvements. Cost is $109,770, and the work is to be completed by December 31st, 2026. There are no renewals. Five proposals were received. The firm selected was considered to be the most responsive and qualified.
Resolution 10G is on the agenda tonight. 6H.
May 13th, 2025 memorandum and proposed resolution from Public Works Director Michael Alcall. Memorandum seeks authorization to execute an agreement with Herbert, Roland, Rubick of Allentown to design Easton Avenue drainage improvements up to Steffco Boulevard. Cost is $106,470, and the work is to be completed by December 31st, 2026. There are no renewals. Three proposals were received. The firm was deemed to be the best and most qualified bidder.
Resolution 10 is on the agenda tonight. And the last...
apologize.
Do you mean it?
Do I mean it? I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I do. From my heart.
Last communication, 6I.
A May 12, 2025 memorandum and proposed resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, requesting the destruction of records from his department. Mr. Boscola has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit accompanying the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And that resolution will be placed on the June 3rd City Council agenda. Moving on to reports, Mr. Miller, the Councilman appointment, please.
Administrative order, Valerie Noonan to the Human Relations Commission. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan, Ms. Kwiatek.
Any discussion on the appointment? Ms. Laird?
Just really happy to see someone who's been so engaged with, you know, civically engaged, stepping up in this way as she has, and I think she'll be a great fit.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Wilhelm?
Yeah, I really just want to second that. I'm sorry Ms. Noonan is not here to hear this, or maybe you're out there listening, but just thinking about sort of the journey with her original attendance at meetings and really just participating for various reasons and staying and being engaged and commenting and now investing herself in this way. I agree. I think it's commendable, and I'm really happy to see this on the agenda tonight.
Any other discussion on the appointment? Councilwoman Quiatek?
Not to belabor the point, but thank you to Councilwoman Laird for encouraging her to seek this path. I was able to actually talk to her last night because Foods Not Bombs had their regular Tuesday food out during the closing hours of voting. So I was happened to be in Payroll Plaza when she came, and just to let her know that I, you know, to say how glad I was that she was going to be participating in this way. And I think she's such an asset that she's clearly committed to social justice and equity and caring for folks and making sure that their rights are upheld. So, again, thank you, Councilwoman Laird.
Any other discussion? And I'll just say, Ms. Noonan had reached out to me to advise that she had a professional commitment tonight, which is one of the rare nights that she's not here, but she did attend the last month's Human Relations Commission meeting. She's already been engaged with the HRC, and I'm glad we're able between, so the HRC is one of the, it's very atypical in that some members are appointed by council, some are appointed by the mayor's office, but myself and Mayor Reynolds and Ms. Santoro, who's serves as essentially an administrative liaison to the HRC, thankfully have been able to raise the complement of HRC volunteers, which historically we've had some challenges with. So this is, I think, the third appointment we've had in recent council meetings, and things are going in the right direction for the HRC. So, anything else from anybody? Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Nothing else to report this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Just a couple things. One is we started the construction on Friendship Park. So that's happened the last couple of days. So that'll be done by the fall, which is really exciting moving forward. I went by there today, and they're moving stuff around. So that's really exciting. And, you know, it's been a long time coming for a couple of years between neighborhood, and I know Councilman Laird has been actively involved in that for a long time. So, and then once the money, and then we had to get a contract, and then we had to wait for construction season. So this has been we're really excited about that. My only other update is just a reminder is if you're free on Monday is the Memorial Day Parade. It starts at 9 a.m. Starts at Liberty High School. Goes up into Memorial Cemetery. And it's always one of those moments where you can be both grateful and appreciative of where we are living in the city. And people come out. People that are in town for the weekend come, and it's a really special event if you have the opportunity to get there. Thank you, President.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. I'll just remind members of council, if anyone plans on attending and has not done so yet, to reach out to the Lehigh Valley Military Affairs Council. I could reshare their contact information should you need it. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, 8A.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as amended, known as the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by amending the city zoning map. Bill number 21, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Laird.
Any discussion on the second reading of 8A? Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Laird?
Nay.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-2. 8B.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Liquid Fuels Fund Budget 2025. Bill number 24, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2025 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 25, 2025 is sponsored by Mr. Ramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion on EC. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Community Development Block Grant Fund for 2025. Bill number 26, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8B.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the General Fund for 2025. Bill number 27, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion on EE. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8M.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the General Fund for 2025. Bill number 28, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Pass 7-0. 8G.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the General Fund for 2025. Bill number 29, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8H.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the General Fund for 2025. Bill number 30, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. There are no new ordinances tonight, so we'll conclude with our resolutions. 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller are hereby authorized to execute all application forms necessary to apply for a Redevelopment Assistant Capital Program grant in the amount of $9,075,000 to be used toward the Martin Tower project, and that said officials are authorized to enter into cooperation agreement with two specified development entities for the purpose of this project. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Ms. Quiatek.
Discussion? I'll start with Councilwoman Quiatek and go down the road.
Thank you. Ms. Collins, or somebody could maybe give us a little bit of the history, or Mr. Ziller. I know that in the communication it was discussed that this is kind of going back a ways and adding. Could you just kind of walk us through?
Sure. So, good evening. So, as Mr. Miller pointed out, original RACP award goes back to 2009. I won't tell you where in my academic career I was at that point. So that was 2009, and then subsequent to that, there were several amendments to that. The RACP process itself is traditionally, for a lot of projects, a long, prolonged process. So in 2011, with amendment number one, that saw an additional $7.825 million. Bring the total to $9.075 million to this RFP award. So this isn't actually new grant funding that the city is passing through to this project. Part of the process is that once it gets to the part of the step of construction, and once it gets to this stage, really it's dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and one step of that is this resolution that would go in front of council, get council sign off that you're acting, the city's acting as a pass through. You're accepting the conditions. So really that's kind of the history tied to this project. We're on amendment number 12, to put it in perspective now. So the fact that this project has moved forward, and as we all know, construction is rapidly, I think, coming to a close. This is just a procedural step.
Just one thing to add to that with Mr. Ziller is that this project in the RCAP has been going on for so long that something one of you may ask is, it's the only RCAP slash CRIS project in the state, because I believe the Department of Revenue has given them a special dispensation to be able to use the RCAP and the CRIS, because they got the RCAP before the CRIS existed in 2013. So the question that often comes up with people is like, oh, if it's in the CRIS, they can't get the RCAP. But that's just a piece of that, which was, if that was one of the follow-up questions, it's the only property in the state that is getting both RCAP and the CRIS because of the RCAP going all the way back to 2009.
That actually was a question.
Councilwoman Francis Smith.
Like, I just wanted to say I'm going to recuse myself because my child is an employee of LBHM, since they're going to be receiving the money.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Mr. Callahan.
So is this the full amount of the RCAP that's left?
For the project, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is all being used on the two medical office buildings out the front?
Correct.
And is there any additional, I know there's Chris Acreage on the back that they, you know, that they have, but is there any movement on the building of the residential units in the back?
No, not this juncture.
Have we had any conversations with anybody about it recently?
Not that I have.
Wait, no one the last time we had a conversation about it?
I can tell you that the area that is, first of all, Ms. Collins, and before Ms. Collins, Ms. Carner have spent a lot of time, and Mr. Zillers has spent a lot of time talking to one of the property owners about the technical aspects of how to utilize the CRIS and the RCAP. So a lot of interaction working together has been going on as far as that's concerned, including a lot of staff time. The zoning there allows for 1,100 units, which is the densest area in the city of Bethlehem. You know, this has been an area that, you know, we have been hoping for plans to come forward at some time, but we are hoping that there are going to be a look at doing something sustainable and smart after they finish these two medical office buildings, which we think is a success, but that's also taken a lot of time. As far as when was the last time we had conversations, I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you that we're excited about the finishing of the medical office buildings, and they are currently allowed to build 1,100 units. That's the zoning that we had changed back when we were in 2015. They have the $9 million in RCAP, they have the CRIS benefit, and you know, we're hopeful that they start to come up with some unit plans.
Can someone reach out to them to find out like how long we're looking at?
We absolutely can. I mean, we're going back to 2009, but we absolutely can do that.
I mean, I think the one thing that everybody here agrees on, everybody on the council and you, that affordable housing is a big thing. And we're all in favor. I don't know anybody that's not in favor of affordable housing. And I think one of the, in bringing down the average price of homes in our area, there's a lot of other factors like interest rates and things like that. And I think there's a housing bubble. I think everybody, you know, can agree to that. Housing and rentals are at an all-time high. So I just think that if there's, what did you say, 1,100 units?
Well, that's what the zoning allows for. It's actually 1085. But and we are hopeful, and we're still hopeful, that all of the public assistance that has helped with medical office buildings, the $9 million in RCAP and the CRIS moving forward, will make that financially feasible to move forward in. But like I said, they're currently allowed to build 1,100 units, which is the densest area in the city of Bethlehem. So we're hoping that anything starts to get built there.
Yeah, I mean, I would just hope that, you know, that project gets moving forward someday, because I think if we added 1,080 units, you know, into the city of Bethlehem, I think it would do a lot to help alleviate some of the high-priced rentals right now.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I mean, one of the beautiful things about Bethlehem is the fact that we have unique neighborhoods that, you know, benefit from our quality of life. And as we move forward, as far as smart planning is concerned and smart growth, I mean, adding units there of at any price point is helpful as far as housing supply is concerned.
Any other discussion on the resolutions? Thank you, Mr. Zillow. Thank you, Mayor Ryan. Call the roll, Mr. Miller.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Abstain.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0 with one member refusing. 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Great Western Services Incorporated to provide materials and labor to restore water and sewer utility trenches at locations throughout the city. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan, Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We're moving on to Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council.
Sorry, I wanted to jump the gun here. I was just looking at it. I think I'd like to make a motion to group these permit agreements together. So that would be 10C through F.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor to group these permit agreements, agenda items 10C through 10F. Together?
Second.
I'll say second by Councilwoman Laird. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. The motion passes to group agenda items 10C through 10F together. Mr. Miller, you could read the group of use permit agreements.
Item 10C, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Christmas City Spirits, LLC, for the 2025 Pride Party Palooza. Item 10D, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Juneteenth Lehigh Valley for the 2025 Juneteenth Lehigh Valley Music Festival. Item 10E, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Holy Infancy Roman Catholic Church for the 2025 Holy Infancy Cultural Celebration. And item 10F, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with ArtsQuest for Sangria Fest. These resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Ms. Kwiatek.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Discussion on the group? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. They all pass 7-0. 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Herbert, Rowland, and Grubick Incorporated to design drainage swale improvements for the Steps of Swale. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Ms. Kwiatek.
Discussion on 10G. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Herbert, Rowland, and Grubick Incorporated to design drainage improvements for Easton Avenue to Steffco Boulevard. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Ms. Kwiatek.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I'll accept a motion in a second to consider the three certificates of appropriateness, 10I through 10K as a group.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Laird, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Please read 10I through 10K.
Item 10I, Certificates of Appropriateness under the Provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 438 High Street to install a 4-foot high by 14-foot long wood picket privacy fence between their property and the adjacent neighbor at 442 High Street. 10J, 438 Center Street to remove aged vinyl siding from the back wall, east facade, and restore the original brick masonry currently underneath the vinyl siding. Restoration is to include repair to any brick face and repointing as needed using period-appropriate materials and colors. And item 10K for 521 Main Street to install a new blade sign and window decals. These resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Ms. Kwiatek.
Discussion on the group. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. The COA's passed 7-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safely, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.